Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Now, it is a real privilege this morning to introduce a really good friend of ours. And we had a great day yesterday with Andy Elms. Yesterday morning with about 60 people in leadership in the life of the church. And it was just a God download for exactly where we're at, how we're moving forward. And what we're going to do is make those sessions available. We don't normally do this with some of the leaders' stuff, but I just feel it's so important what Andy was sharing yesterday out of some of what God was doing with them in their church, how he's been leading them. But it is just so now for where we're at and how we're moving forward with going to two services, planting out in the autumn, where we're going for the next few years in terms of planting congregations all around the 25-mile radius. And just the nuggets of wisdom and insight that came yesterday. So we're going to make that available so that everybody can access that and have a listen to that, because it would just so help with understanding our thinking, heart, faith, expectation, action, you know, how we're to move forward as a church. So, and then we had a great time last night. Phenomenal word about being the body of Christ. And we'll make that available as well, because just getting a revelation of what it really means to be in the body, part of the body, a member of the body, and what that really means in terms of the life of the body, the effectiveness, the fruitfulness. So really phenomenal day yesterday. And I know Andy's burning with something actually in his heart to really bring to us as a church this morning. So Andy pioneered and planted a family church in Portsmouth 15 years ago. Now has about 8 congregations, going to a 9th one in the next couple of months. About 1,400 people in and around Portsmouth. They have a growing network of churches called Synergy, which is growing in the UK but also overseas. And there's a real apostolic anointing and grace on Andy's life in terms of leadership. And lots of people beginning to look for kind of oversight and input from him and the guys that were working with him down in Portsmouth. So it's a real honour, a real privilege to have us here this morning. I want us to stand up and give Andy a massive, massive welcome as he comes to bring the word this morning.
Come on, praise God. Let's give him praise in this place. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. Come on, somebody give him praise. Come on, let's change the atmosphere. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus, King of Kings. Praise God. Come on, somebody Facebook me. It's awesome to be here today. You can take your seat. It's brilliant to be with you. Everybody doing good? Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure to be able to invest into the life of your church over these last few hours. And we had a good time yesterday, and we are going to have a great time this morning. If you've come hopeless, you're going to leave hopeful this morning. If you felt you lost your faith today, you're going to go thinking, I found it again. I'm all right again. I've got a message on my heart that's going to do you good. Anybody ready for something to do them good? Listen, we got some books with us. Breakfast of Champions is just a phenomenal thing that's hit the nations. Wherever I go in the world, someone says, I love Breakfast of Champions. It's just a devotional written by an everyday guy that used to sell fruit and veg but was radically saved by grace. It's not eloquent. There's not big words you won't understand. I used to sell carrots and tomatoes. That's about as deep as I get with education. But the truth in it will change your life. You know, people say that, why is there only 260? There's more days in the year than that. You're a clever bunch. You work that out all by yourself. The reason is that we give you devotion Monday to Friday, and by the end of Friday, you can't handle anymore. You need Saturday just to get your head around what you've learned, and Sunday's all about building church. So join us with the Breakfast of Champions. That's available. We've got God's Blueprint for His Church, which is really the mandate on my life, which is to mobilize the church. I really believe that the biggest challenge of the 21st century church that it faces is to now mobilize the people we've seated so comfortably over many years. That the Great Commission still means a whole bunch to Jesus, and it should mean a whole bunch to us. This book will mobilize you to be more than church on Sunday. This will equip you and inspire you to live for God and to fulfill the Great Commission in your Jerusalem. All right, it's a real good book. Get your hands on that. And my recent book, which just come out, The Glass of Water, It's not pessimism or optimism. It's about how you can be the mighty man you believe God's calling you to be. When I say mighty man, I'm not excluding ladies because I believe in the new creation. All the boundaries that once separated us have been removed. Amen. Amen. Just like there's no Jew or Gentile, slave or free, so the male and the female thing was sorted by the new creation. Wherever God's got a plan, he's got a man, and some of his best men are women. Come on, let's hear you, ladies. I'm for you. I'm on your side. I'm married to one and I've got four daughters. You know, I know what it's like to empower ladies. I really do. So that book will teach you. How many people want to know what your pastor's really thinking? Get this book. How many of you want to know how to serve your pastor like God needs you to? Get this book. Let me read you the back. If truth be told, most senior pastors would love to write a book for their leadership teams and church called How I Would Serve Me If I Was You. The reality is most won't, but yet what is on their heart needs to be heard. Your pastors are humble people. That's how God made them to be. But there's stuff that you need to know about them. I am the pastor that squealed. I am the senior leader that squealed. I'm the one that says, listen, this is what we need. This is what you need to understand. This is how we need you to understand us. Get that book. If you think you're a mighty man, this will tell you if you are or not. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn them wherever you want. Anyway, maps, index. Anyway, I'm turning mine to Psalm 66, and it'll be kind of useful if you did as well. It'll make a lot more sense, because if I'm in Psalms and you're in Revelation, it'll just get confusing. Listen, I'm so excited about your journey, and I'm so excited that the courage you have to create space. You know, a lot of leaders wouldn't have the courage to do that. A lot of leaders, because of their own insecurity, say, no, we've got to keep a crowd big. But that's not in the heart of your leaders. But I love how you've gone to two services because, yep, I get to preach twice, but more than that, you get to expand who you are. And I just want to say you've, by design, created space. Rejoice in it. Celebrate it. Love it. Don't be intimidated by space that you've created. Space created by church loss is not a good thing. But space created by design for church growth is something worth celebrating. You know, we're regularly planting churches now. And whenever we plant out of our main congregation, we create space. And it doesn't intimidate us anymore because we know the people are coming. The people are coming. The people we've never met before. The people, they're coming. They're coming. We're making room for God to do what he wants to do next. So when you walk into your congregation and you're in a moment where there's space, love it. Thank God for it and believe God to fill it. Amen. Right, Psalm 66, verses 8 to 12. I'm reading from the NIV, which is the nearly inspired version. And it says, praise our God, all peoples, everyone's included. Listen, is it okay if I preach a little bit? I've been really kind of downloading a lot of information the last few hours, but I just feel like preaching something into someone's heart today. I just feel like preaching somebody back into their destiny today. Is that all right? Listen, and honestly, I really work better if you respond. I'm seriously. If you respond, I'll bring you stuff I never even brought with me. Psalm 66. So, don't start, I'll tell you, don't start, I'm feeling like preaching today. Psalm 66, listen, I was a good boy yesterday, I sat there and gave you loads of information, but today Andy wants to play a little bit, Andy wants to preach a little bit. If I say, Psalm 66, somebody Twitter me. Psalm 66, 8 verse 12, it says, praise our God, all peoples. Everyone's included in that. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard. Let the sound of praise. What's the sound of praise sound like? I've heard the sound of praise to a football player, but what's the sound of praise to God worth? What's it sound like? What's he worth? When it gets to you, what's he worth? It says in a Message translation, bless our God, all peoples. Give him a thunderous welcome. We always need to have a thunderous welcome in our hearts to God, no matter what season in. When it makes sense, we give him praise. When it doesn't make sense, I will praise him. When it doesn't make sense, I will praise him. Because like Paul and Silas, we understand that God inhabits the praises of his people. And the best thing we can do if we're in a moment that doesn't make sense is not stay quiet, but to give our sound of praise, to let our praise be heard. When it says that our praise be heard, what does that sound like? Can someone show me what that sounds like this morning? What is praise? Will somebody stand up? Will somebody do a cartwheel? Will somebody give God a thunderous welcome in this place? If Jesus was here right now, what would you do? What would you do? How would you praise him this morning? What does the sound of praise sound like? Come on, somebody get excited about Jesus in this place right now. Woo! Let the praises of praise be heard. Let the sound of praise be heard. Who needs to hear our praises? We need to hear our praises. We need to hear ourselves calling from a dark and dingy place. Yet I will praise him. Yet I will praise him. Our neighborhood needs to hear us praise him. They've heard the praise of other things. They've watched X Factor. They've heard the praises of man given to other people. They need to hear our praise. Can somebody say amen? But the bottom line is every principality and power and demonic thing that's been coming against you in your life needs to hear you praise God. It may feel like you're in a prison cell, but the things that have come against you need to hear praise and thunderous welcome coming from your life. Woo! You may be seated, you crazy bunch. Why do we praise? He has preserved our lives. Oh, he's preserved my life. Oh, he preserved me. He's preserved me. Many times I should have gone rotten. He preserved me. I'm healthy jam today because he preserved me. I'm healthy. He preserved me. He's kept me healthy. He's kept me sane. That's reasonable. Some people would argue with that. But he preserved me. I praise him because he preserved me. He kept my foot from slipping. Oh, how he kept my foot from slipping. I should have slipped a long time ago, but there was one who was keeping my foot from slipping. I shouldn't be a happily married man 20 years later, faithful to my bride, but there was one who kept my foot from slipping when others slipped. I shouldn't be such an incredible father to 5 children. It's amazing how incredible I am. But it's because there's one who kept my foot from slipping. I shouldn't be in ministry. I should have blown it, but there was one who kept my foot from slipping. Oh, there was one setting me up for a slide, but there was always one keeping me from slipping. To him I give my praise when I feel like it and when I don't. When I saw the good bits over, then it gets a bit serious in verse 10. It gets a bit confusing for people exposed to faith alone. It says, "For you, O God, you tested us." Come on, our God, he will test us. He's not abusive. There's not an abusive bone in him. God can only give what he's got, and there's no abuse in him. But he will test us. He will test us. You, oh God, you test. Has anyone ever been tested? By tested, it means proved. It means God's just demonstrating the strength he's created in you, and he's showing you how strong. I've been tested, God. You refined me like silver. Whenever God tests us, it's to refine us, not to harm us. It's to strengthen us, not to weaken us. It's not fun, but when you understand the what to the why and the why to the what, you understand, and yet you praise him. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our back. You let people ride over our head. You never let people crush our head, but you positioned us in a trench, but you allowed things to come over us, but they could never harm us, but they came over us, but you allowed things to happen that would never harm us, but would test us, because you see in us what we can be, not just what we are. Oh, this is a bit I want to get a bit excited about, if you'll forgive me. I'm English, and I know I'm meant to preach all nice and quiet, but I just can't, because I consider my life with these verses. We went through the fire. We went through the water. Come on, has anyone ever been in the fire? If you're never in the fire, you won't get this morning. If life's just been peachy sweet for you, you won't get this. But anyone been through the fire? Has anyone been through the... I've been through the fire. I've been through the water. But you, oh God, have brought me to a place of abundance. I've been through the fire. Listen, I want to talk about a bus route that's got 3 stops. I want to talk about a bus route that's got 3 stops, because I think there's people in here that have been through the fire and you've been through the water, and it's like you want to get off the bus now. Don't get off the bus, because the next stop is the one that God always intended. It's a place called abundance. It's a place called abundance. God's destination is always abundance. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above. It's him who crowns our year with goodness and causes our pathways to drip with abundance. God's destination for you is abundance, but sometimes the journey can be confusing. Sometimes the journey to abundance, I want to talk about the journey to abundance, because some Christians think, I give my life to Jesus, I wake up and everything is beautiful. No, sometimes the journey is confusing. Sometimes you go through the fire, but the fire is not meant to harm you, it's meant to make you. Sometimes you go through the water, the water's not meant to drown you, it's meant to teach you. And then one day you wake up in a place of abundance. there's some people that were going to get off the bus. You're not going to get off the bus anymore. The devil's trying to get you off the bus because the next stop is the one you've been believing for. The next stop is the one you know God promised. You allowed things to happen, not originated. I'm not talking of abuse. I'm talking about stuff. The purpose is refining, strengthening, and future freedom. I don't know. There's something about 2013 that's got me really excited. Come on, anybody else? When I stepped into 2013, something in me got excited. Yet I was still in situations, yet something in me got excited. Now, I don't believe for a moment that God's got a calendar like we've got on his fridge. I know he's got a picture of me, but I don't know if he has a calendar. He's got a picture of you too. Don't be all mean with me. He's got a big fridge. Big fridge. I don't believe he's got a calendar on it with views of Horsham, with January, February. I believe that he lives outside of time and space, but I just sense in my heart he's got a plan for 2013. He's got a plan for this is a year of grace. This is a year of breakthrough. And I don't know when you stepped in. When I stepped in January, I was like, God's going to do something this year. God's got a place for me called abundance in this year. The trouble is you get to June and you start saying, did I hear right? Hey, listen, it's whether the glass is half full or half empty, we still got half a year left. There's stacks of time for God to do. If God can create a universe in a few days, what can he do in a few minutes for your life? What can God do? He only needs a second, mate. If one moment, bang, God can do something. It's only June. 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 Oh, it's June. No, it's only June. It's only June. God don't need long. And whatever God promised, he'll do, because God's not a liar like man. His word will never return void. When God gives a promise, he gives a destination. And the destination is never less, it's always more. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Not bad for a fruit man, eh? Should have seen me when I sold tomatoes. I was lethal. God always promises abundance, but there's always a journey. And it's the journey that can be confusing. Listen, this is my experience. It's often not till you look back that you understand the why to what just happened. Can you catch that in your heart? When you're in what's happening, it doesn't make sense. Anybody in something that's happening right now, it feels like a fire, it feels like waves. When you're in the what doesn't make sense. But when God brings you out of the what, you look back and you understand the why to what just happened. It's not until you come out you understand the why to what just happened. It's not until you leave the furnace, you look back and you say, oh, I get it, God, you never had an intention to harm me, not once. But what you did has done me good. Listen, here's the bottom line that I've learned. I speak from my personal experience. When God leads you in, he'll always lead you out, because God will never lead you on. God will never lead you on. He's not a liar. He's not a teaser. If God leads you into something, rejoice, because if he's led you in, he's going to lead you out. If you led you in, you better be in trouble. But if God led you in, he's going to lead you out, because he'll never lead you on. God is not leading you on. God is not playing with you. You are not an experiment. You were the only thing that he fashioned with his hand. Other things he spoke into existence. But you, he put his fingerprint on when he formed you. You're different to anything else on the planet. He adores you and he's got no intention of harm. But he will reveal to you how tough you really are. He will reveal to you what an animal you really are, so that you can be the warrior you were destined to be. It's about trusting him in the journey when it makes sense and when it doesn't. It's about understanding that when things don't make sense, he's still Lord. His promises are still true. And you may not understand what's happening. Don't become an expert of what's happening. But keep on trusting, keep on walking, saying, yet I will praise you, yet I will praise you. This doesn't make sense, but yet I will praise you, I will praise you. And then one day you come out, you look back and you say, you're so clever, God, that's why you're in charge. You're so clever, that's why you're in charge. Every part of our life is growing us for what's next. I think of David, how confusing it must have been when that bear came in to steal a sheep. But David knew what had been written, blessed is the man that sets his heart on pilgrimage. Blessed is the man, not instant destination. You know, sometimes we mock the Muslims for making their destination and their sole purpose Mecca. But that's what some people do with Israel sometimes. Once they get to the Wailing Wall, that's the epicenter of their experience with God. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Israel, I pray for Israel. But visiting Israel isn't the finale of my walk with God, because I'm not called to pilgrimage to a place, I'm called to pilgrimage to a person. I'm called to pilgrimage to the Saviour. And the Bible says that our pilgrimage and our journey with him until I appear before him in Zion, which means this is a lifelong journey. It's not 5 minutes. Are you ready for a lifelong journey? Blessed, happy are those that journey with the Lord. David knew that in every season God was God, when things made sense and when they didn't. And he was sitting there. You know, David was God's little choir boy. He was God's little choir boy. Him and God had something special going on when they broke the harp out. But yet things happened that must have seemed confusing. God's little choir boy that was destined to be a king, but he never knew it yet. He was destined to be a king, but he didn't know God was growing him to be a king. He just still thought he was a shepherd boy. One day he's sitting there and a big old ugly bear comes walking in. A big old ugly bear grabs one of his sheep and says, "I'm having that," and he walks out. And it says, David, you know, David could have sat down and said, "Oh God, why have you failed me?" David said, "I don't understand what's happening, but I know that's my sheep." And he went back, he said, "Mr. Bear, give me the sheep." The bear went, so he spanked him. And the bear moved. I don't think he'd ever spanked a bear before. But when God's with you, you'll do anything. Because here's the equation, God times you equals anything can happen. And the bear moved, so he spanked him again. He didn't move anymore. I don't think he took a healthy sheep back. I reckon that thing looked like a kebab. Unless the bear would... I don't think that happened. But he brought it back and he said to the other sheep, "I'll always come and get you." If there's hope in that. And then he's sitting there later on. And suddenly the lion comes in like a sneaky cat, gives him a wink. "I'm having one of your sheep." Takes the sheep and David said, "Let's just try what we did with the bear. Maybe it'll work again." So he goes, "No, Mr. Lion," and he thumps that thing, gives it a spanking, it moves, so he hits it again, it moves no more. And he must have thought, what is this about? I'm sure I was God's choir boy. I'm sure this wasn't meant to happen on my watch. Where's God in all this? And then one day, I don't know if it was a month or a couple of years later, he was delivering a packed lunch to his brothers. And he was delivering a packed lunch. It was any other morning. And he didn't get up for any big fight. He was just delivering a packed lunch to his brothers. And he went around a corner and there was Goliath. And in his heart, he said, "I'm prepared for you. I'm prepared. I am going to spank you. I am going to give you the worst spanking you've ever experienced." And then suddenly Saul turns around and says to him, "Who do you think you are? You're just a boy. You're just a boy." This man was a warrior from his youth. And David said, "Don't you go there." "Don't you go there. You weren't on my journey. You weren't there when I took on a bear. You weren't there when I took on a lion. I was on my own. I was on my own. No one saw that. God saw. I've taken a lion and I've taken a bear. Now it makes sense. It was my apprenticeship. It was my apprenticeship. And I'm so ready for Big Head. He's going down. And when I've finished with him, I'm going to chuck some stuff at him. And he's going down, one stone heavier. He's going down. He's hitting the ground." And as he said it, so he did it. You got to understand that maybe God is not being cruel. Maybe God sees what's around the corner. Maybe God sees what's going to happen in 10 years. Maybe God's plan for your life is more important than your momentary comfort. Maybe God sees what he needs you to be for the plans he has for you. "I've been through the fire." Anybody else? "I've been through the fire, I've been through the water, and I've been through the poo. I've been through a lot of it. I've waded, I've swum, I've been over my head. I've lived a real life. I've not had a little caravan to the side of life. I've been through the fire, and so has my family. But we're still alive." I think of the Israeli boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You can't say that with food in your mouth. All this revelation just keeps, I've never said that before in my life, ever. This revelation's just flowing this morning. You're pulling it out of me. Pulling it out of me. Come on, somebody Twitter me right now. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong. You being in a furnace isn't about what you deserve. You've been, as if it's your own stupidity, even it may, but not when it's not your stupidity. When you find yourself in a furnace, it's not what you deserve. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did not deserve a furnace. They got there by standing righteously for what they believe. When Nebuchadnezzar came and said, I want you to bow down to a foreign god that I've created. I love Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I love their confidence. With their honor, they said, my king, no, no, no. And I love their answer. They said, our God is able to save us. But the next bit really thrills me. But even if he doesn't, I will not bow my knee to what you're asking me to. Listen, in our hearts, we need to have that. Even if he doesn't, I will not bow my knee to insecurity. I will not bow my knee to a quick fix that gets me out of this situation. I will not bow my knee to any other thing because I trust God. I trust God. Everything in me trusts him. I trust him when the sun is shining. I trust him when it's raining. I trust him when things make sense. And I trust him when things don't make sense. And for that great speech, they got thrown in the furnace. Have you ever been thrown in a furnace? It's pretty scary. It's pretty scary, especially when it's been heated 7 times hotter than in the other furnace. It's a pretty scary time. You know, we, because we're British, we make it very casual, like they went, ooh, pop, in the... Now, I reckon some of them, at least one of them, went in screaming. I'd be like a little girl, even though I was believing, I'd be like a little girl. When they take me and throw me in a furnace, oh yeah, that happens every day. Now come on, get real, use your imagination. Your imagination isn't a creation of your fallen man. God gave you it so that when you read your Bible, you can go there. You can go there. You can colour it in. Use your imagination. It must have been terrible. When they were thrown in, at least one of them went in screaming. I know I would have, even though I believed. Ah, like a little girl. But imagine when they're in the fire for a few moments and the other two tap him on the shoulder and say, you can stop screaming, we're not dead. Can you imagine what that was like? You can stop, you can stop screaming, we're not dead. We don't understand, but we're not dead. And suddenly they looked at each other and they said, my, we're not even burned. We're not even burned. And they began to talk and they began to look through the entrance at Nebuchadnezzar. You all right, Nebs? You all right, how you doing? Look at us. Look at us. And Nebuchadnezzar's giving it. This is unusual. And then Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who were in the fire, turned around to each other, and they must have had a conversation that said something like this. We're not dead. We're not dead. We're not dead. The fire that was meant to kill us hasn't killed us. We're not dead. Are you dead? I'm not dead. We're all alive, right? Yeah, we're all alive. We're not dead. And then they realized that the fire was never meant to kill them. If the flames were meant to kill them, they'd be dead. But they weren't dead, so they said, God must have a purpose. And then suddenly, I don't know if it was Meshach, Shadrach, or Abednego, but one of them said, guys, I've noticed something. What? Are you ready for some of you are going to enjoy this? The ropes we were tied with are gone. Hey, boys, I've noticed something. When we came in, we were bound. But we are not bound anymore. Granted, it's a pretty extreme way to get ropes off of people, but it works. And all of a sudden, they realized they weren't bound and they actually began to dance in the flames. It wasn't meant to kill us. It was meant to refine us. It was meant to get us free. Listen, for people that come in the church, me and Miriam, we're so glad that people like dancing, but we don't dance because we're special. Get in the furnace, you'll come out dancing. Every bondage that held you, everything that stopped you doing what God deserves, a furnace will get that garbage off of you. And then they came out of the furnace, and suddenly the master plan, the big picture came into play. When Nebuchadnezzar got on his knees, as they stepped out, because Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he said, weren't they meant to die? Yes, king, then why are they not dead? And wait a moment. How many? Did we not throw 3 men into the furnace? Who's the 4th man? And why does he look like the Son of God? I've got the answer. Because it was the Son of God. When you go into a furnace trusting God, God will not abandon you. Like the ancient hymn of old once said, you are not alone. He is here with you. Don't you love those old hymns? You're not alone. He will not abandon you in a furnace. He'll stand alongside you in a furnace and he'll walk through every flood by your side. And when they came out, it's not until you leave that the what makes sense. Nebuchadnezzar hits his knees and says, surely the whole nation must acknowledge this God as God. Surely every man and woman in this nation under my authority must bow its knee to the God of these three men. And suddenly Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego, look, it makes sense. It makes sense. We went through the furnace, but the furnace wasn't judgment. The furnace was getting us free. It got the bondages off of our life. But also it repurposed the nation. We look back and it makes sense. I've been through the fire, but I'm not burnt. If you're not dead, the fire wasn't meant to kill you. It's refining you. Because I tell you, the Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego that came out was stronger than the Meshach and Abednego that went in. When you get on the bus somewhere with God, you better believe when you get off the other side, you'll be different. You won't be the same man, the same woman, because God will do in you incredible things. You'll get on a 2-stone wimp and you'll get off the Incredible Hulk, because what God does on the journey makes you strong for the Goliaths. He's got you. I've been through the fire. I've been through the water. I think of the children of Israel in that moment when they had to trust him. How overwhelmed must they have been when they stepped into that ocean that was parted simply by the word of God? How are you? My problem, Andy, you're overwhelming me. How overwhelmed must the children of Israel felt when they looked behind and the captor was coming to get them? The captor was coming to get them. The captor had changed his mind. Pharaoh had changed his mind. He'd moved the deal. He had a deal with God that he was going to set God people free, because Pharaoh had a speech impediment. You know, I can't teach you everything this morning. Pharaoh had a speech impediment, and that's what makes it funny. It wasn't a normal man command. It was like Daffy Duck. Set my people free. Set them free. Pharaoh's like, why is this a joker? No, set my people free. Don't be mocked by how I sound. I'm going to set them free today. God will always use unlikely people to do incredible things. And Pharaoh set them free after a bit of persuasion. After a bit of persuasion, Pharaoh saw the light. But when the children had gone, Pharaoh changed his mind, but God hadn't changed his. And God had a plan. It involved an ocean. And God had a plan that involved an ocean. And the children of Israel stood there and the captor was coming for repossession. Not their plasma screen or their new fridge, them. He wanted them back. He wanted them repossessed into his ownership. But God had a plan. The plan wouldn't make sense when you were in it, but it would make sense after. And when they stood there and Moses extended that rod and the oceans part, it wasn't a puddle or a lake or a stream. Walls of ocean built up and was sustained by nothing more than the invisible word of God. And all of a sudden there were walls not made of brick or concrete, just walls as far as you can see. Come on, somebody go there in their imagination. There was walls, the ground was dry and the walls were so high you couldn't see the top. You could see the activity of the aquatic life within the walls, and it could overwhelm at any moment. It feels like it could crush you. Ever been where it felt like your life was a house of cards? If one card moves at the bottom and it's all, I've been there. I've been through the fire. I've been through the water and I'll probably go through again. But the good thing is, once you've done it once, you know how to behave the second time. The first one's always the worst. But when you're standing there, they stepped in. Is it going to collapse? Is it going to collapse? I feel overwhelmed. I feel over at any moment, it could all be over. Then after a few footsteps, you begin to realize the water's not meant to kill me. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. And it's not to harm me. God's just doing something. I can't trust him. That's when, just like Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego began to dance in the flames, you begin to enjoy yourself. Welcome to God's marina. Hey, Nemo. How you doing? Hey, look, it's Nemo. Peace. Nemo. Hey, Dory. Hey, Dory. You got to watch the film to get this joke. Hey, Dory. Hey, Dory. And then all of a sudden, for some of the older ones here, on the other side, there's Flipper. Who remembers Flipper? Hey, look, kids, antiques. Flipper. And then suddenly it goes dark. It's the sun. It's the sun going down. No, it's Free Willy. Like a roof box on a car with a sunroof. Don't know where that came from. Just life experience. And you begin to realise it's all right, you're in God's marina. It's not, you know. And then you're still wondering, what's this about? What's it all about, Jesus? And you're walking through there. And then when the last foot of what belongs to God leaves, and the last foot of what came to repossess and re-enslave enters in, suddenly God says, now. And it closes. And you stand on the other side of the moment that didn't make sense. And you realize, I get it. It wasn't to harm me. It was to give me future freedom. Because God never set them free to go to the promised land and be recaptured. God hasn't got a plan for your addiction to recapture you. That's why water baptism is powerful. It's a type and shadow of coming through a moment when everything that had ownership on you stops. It's drowned. I've been through the fire. It felt like I was going to be crispy. I've been through the waves. It felt like I was going to drown. I've been overwhelmed in my life. I've been in and out of oceans, but now I understand. There's one more bus stop that's coming. Come on, somebody get excited. If you've been through the fire and you've been through, there's three bus routes. There's one bus route, three stops. I've had two stops. How many stops does that? That's it. B-I-N-G-O. I had a dog and its name was Bingo. There's one more stop. There's one more stop. What's this stop called? It's called Jubilee. It's called a place of abundance. It's the place that I set off for. There's a place coming around the corner for me. And the devil wants me off a bus because I've been through the fire. That was stop one. I've been through the waves. I've been overwhelmed. Next stop, I ain't getting off the bus. You can't buy me off the bus. I'm staying on the bus because I know that there's a place appointed for me. Some of you are so close to a place called abundance, and that's why you want to stop going to church. That's why you want to have a little wine. Don't leave church. Don't have a wine. Stay on the bus. Stay on the bus. Stay on the bus. Let me say it in Greek. Stay on the bus. I don't know how. Stay on the bus. Stay on the bus. Because I don't know if some of you may like this. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. I see a cloud. Woo! I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Have you been in a desert? Have you been so dry you didn't think you'd ever drink again? Have you been in a barren place that seemed unrefreshing? I want to tell you, there's a cloud. There's a cloud the size. I can't see the cloud. It's because you're walking around smelling the smoke of a furnace. It's time to lift your head. I can't see the cloud, Andy. You can't because you're looking at the seaweed in your flip-flops. You're remembering where you've come from. It's time to lift your head. I see a cloud the size of a man. I don't know if this is for somebody here today in a situation where you've been dry. And I see a cloud. Well, why should I believe you? Because I'm a prophet. I see a cloud the size of a man. But I can't see it. That's why I'm the prophet and you're not. I see it and you don't, but I'm telling you it's coming. I see a cloud. I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Remember when the prophet went to Ahab and he said, I started this thing and I'll end this thing. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And the king said, I don't hear anything. That's why you have a king and I'm the prophet. I hear what's coming. You see what is. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I'm not here to look like an idiot. I'm telling you, you may not see it, you may not hear it, but it's coming. I've heard it in the spirit. And I'm telling you, this is a weather warning. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Stop singing, let it snow, let it snow. Start singing, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the windows of heaven. Let it rain. Because I've heard the sound of abundance of rain. And the prophet goes off and he starts to pray. I thank you. I know what I've heard. I'm not moved by what I see. And he says to his servant, go and have a look. Then the servant goes out and he says, there's nothing there. What's the old man doing? There's nothing there. There's nothing there, old man. There's nothing there. Look again. God, I know what you've shown me. I know what you've shown me. I know what I've heard. And he goes and looks again and he says, the old man, I'm not going to call him Baldy. You get hurt when you call him Baldy. But he ain't seeing things correct. He ain't seeing. You've got to know the word to get my jokes, okay? And the old man said, look again. Why should I look again? Because I pay you. Go and have a look. I see it. Oh, man. Oh, man. I see a cloud, but there's a problem. It's only the size of a man's hand. The prophet gets up and says, is there a village missing you? Stop being an idiot. Is there a village missing you right now? Stop being an idiot. I said abundance of rain, not drizzle. The only reason it's the size of a man's hand, forgive me if you're an idiot and you got offended by that. Your village loves you. Your village needs you. Go back to your village. The only reason it was the size of a man's hand is it was still afar off. It was still afar off. Come on, God won't kill you for laughing, sir. You can laugh a laugh. You can do it. Please do. I won't. Well, it'll get you. I pray it gets you in your sleep. Pray you start chuckling in your sleep when all your defences are down. And your wife's like, this is surely the Lord. He hasn't laughed for 40 years. Come on, you know it's true. You know it's true. Everything he do for you. I love all these old hymns. I'm like a jukebox. They just come out of me. It's only small because it's a way off. But the wind's blowing my way. But the wind's blowing my way. Listen, being a pastor, we get to witness the wind blowing everybody else's way. Oh, pastor, what? You should hear what God's done for me. Yeah, and we're struggling up here, right? Tell me, God's so good, he's so faithful. Yes, isn't he? I'm so happy for you. I'm so blessed that your cloud came to your life. That's just amazing. This cloud's got your name on it. This cloud's got your name on it. He wants you off the bus. He wants to disposition you because this cloud has got your postcode. This cloud knows where it's coming. This cloud knows where it's coming. That's why the devil's working to get you off the bus. That's why he wants you to quit. That's why he wants to get you to throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Like it says, it ain't over till the fat woman sings. And she hasn't sung yet. She has not. The fat chick has not sung yet. So it ain't time to quit. The black ball has not gone in the hole. It may be 11:59, but it's not quite 12 o'clock. And he only needs a minute more. He only needs one moment. You are not alone. I don't know how else to sing to you. There's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Can you see it? Can you hear it? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. To the weary, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. To those who are in the fire, you're coming out soon, you're coming out, and it'll all make sense. It'll all make sense. To those who are going through moments where you're overwhelmed, you will look back and say, God, yeah, I will praise you because now I understand. When you purpose to lead a church, you don't have one encounter of a furnace or you go in and out like a yo-yo. But like I said, when you understand what they do, they no longer trouble you. That could be a poem, right? Poetry now flowing from me. I better stop. I don't know where we're going with this. Let hope rise in your heart. Let hope rise in your heart. Let hope rise in your heart. Let hope, he is still Lord, and even if it doesn't make sense, he's still God in that moment you're in right now. You got to believe. Somebody believe. I can preach my heart out, but somebody needs to believe. I can sweat like a hog on a hog roast and preach till I'm hoarse, but somebody has to believe and say, that's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's my message. That's my. Somebody fight with their neighbor. That's my message. That's my. Somebody get selfish over this. Somebody get excited with. Somebody just. Oh my goodness. We're going to. Somebody believe. Somebody believe. Somebody believe that it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's only June. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Come on, we know, understand this in England. It's going to rain. Come on, we don't need a lot of imagination. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. I've been through the fire. I've been through the water. But he brought me to a place of abundance. But the man who got off the bus is bigger and stronger than the man that got on. Because he knows the end from the beginning thereof. You're looking at your moment. You have an obsession about your moment. He's looking at your life and your eternity. He's building you for beyond the grave. Trust him. You say, well, I don't follow Jesus. I've never given my life to Jesus. What's the difference? What you're saying to me, Andy, is if I become a Christian, I'll still have the same problems and situations that normal people do. Yeah. But you are not alone. That's the difference. Right now, all by yourself, you're going to be all by yourself once again. Make a decision. You are not alone. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll bring you in and he'll bring you through. Amen. He's worth it. It's not an issue of would you. It's why wouldn't you? Close your eyes with me right now. Let's pray this together. Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for giving your life for me. I give my life to you. Your life becomes mine because you took my death. Come into my life. Fill me with your presence. Change me from the inside out. I believe. Just my every eye's closed, every head's bowed, or head closed and eye bowed. I don't mind either one. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you've been away from God, you've been going through the motions. Even in the praise and worship this morning, you went through the motions, but your heart was miles away. And you say, I want to get right with God. I've got to get right with God. I've got to get right with God. I've got to get right with God. Maybe you're here and a friend brought you. Big welcome to you. Hope you've enjoyed church, but there's a question you need to answer. Are you right with God? Is he your friend? Is he your savior? If not, you need to do something about that today. You prayed the prayer in your heart. All I'm going to ask you to do, I'm not going to bring you forward. I'm not here to embarrass you. There's people around that are going to notice in a few moments when you lift your hand. And when you lift your hand, what you're saying to heaven and earth is, I receive Jesus right now. I come back to Jesus right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand really boldly, very confidently, making a choice that you believe in that says, I'm coming back to Jesus. I'm coming back to Jesus. I'm giving my life to Christ today. I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to pop your hand up if that's you. One, get ready. Get ready for your life to change. Get ready for your life to come back into order. It's not an issue of why would you, it's why wouldn't you. You need him. You need him. Two, yeah, there's other moments, but what's wrong with this moment? This moment's perfect if it's the one that God's touching your heart with. Why wait till next week? You can, but why would you? God's doing something right now. He wants to make all things new right now. Get ready, here I go. If that's you, don't hold back. Don't let pride hold you in your chair. Don't let the people that you came with hold you back. You do this for you and God. Three, pop your hand up if that's you right now. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Is there a second person right now? And you say, me too. Andy, I'm in like Gunga Din. Hand right up, number two. If there's a second one, I've got a man right now lifting his hand. God bless you, I see that hand. Is there a third person right now? A third person, you say, me too, Andy, me too. I'm giving my life to Christ right now. Is there a third person right now? I won't drag this out. If you're that third person, get your hand up right now. There's a man and a lady that's responded. Is there a third person right now? And you say, me too, Andy. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to count it down. I'm going to close this down. If that's you, don't let anything hold you back. 5, 4, is there anybody else? 3, 2, anybody else? 1. Father, I pray your grace upon these two people right now. I pray your grace upon this man and upon this woman. I pray that you invade their lives and invade their situations and begin to turn things around and make the impossible possible, that you become better than what they ever dreamed you could be. I speak blessing upon this man and upon this woman. right now, if you've been in a fire or if you're in the fire and you're in the waves and it's just made sense, but you just want me to pray for you, stand to your feet right now. I won't take long, so you're going to need to be quick. I haven't got time to play with your pride. If you need to pray, you stand to your feet right now. If you want me to join with you, you get to your feet. If you're in the fire, guess what? I've been in the fire too. It's normal to go through the fire. You are not abnormal. This is called walking with God. If you're in the water right now and you feel overwhelmed, I want to pray right now and I just want to just release heaven upon your life. Faith is going to rise and hope is going to be released. Father, I pray right now, just lift your hands for me. Father, I pray. There's about 10 more people that need to stand. I can only give you one more invitation. It's down to you and your pride now. Do you want God to touch you this morning and jump in? I would. God responds to responsive people. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That's it. Father, I thank you right now for a release of faith and hope in the spirits of these men and women. That, Father, the fire isn't meant to kill them, neither the wave to drown them. But there's a place called abundance. There's a stop called jubilee that you're rooting their lives to. Father, we thank you in the moments that make sense, yet we will praise you. And in the moments we don't, we will also praise you with everything we are. I just pray peace. I just pray breakthrough. And I just pray life, hope, and joy unspeakable upon every man, woman that's standing right now. And all God's people said, one more time, up on our feet, let's give him thunderous welcome.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.